The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. Wake up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad to be with us here on SB Nation AM on a Wednesday morning. First four, two games in, Fairleigh Dickinson over Prairie View, and Belmont defeats Temple. They move on to the first round of the NCAA tournament, and there'll be two more playing games. But man, oh man, there's a term in radio that I've used for many, many years, and it's one of those cliches in broadcasting called play the hits, and I always have to preface it because you may have heard this me say this before in another segment of Major League Baseball spending. You want to go back to the 1994 strike and why we lost the World Series? Mike Trout's contract is the reason why the players struck and were locked out in 1994. We lost a World Series because they couldn't come up with a collective bargaining agreement. Because they knew, the players knew, that if they could just withstand the owners trying to put a salary cap in Major League Baseball, that they could not protect themselves from themselves. $430 million on a 12-year extension for Mike Trout. Nearly a half a billion dollars for a Major League Baseball player. Now listen, you can go through the analytics, and many people have, about his win above replacement numbers and how much those wins actually cost, what kind of value that is, and you find out Mike Trout is an underpaid player through some crazy analytics. But the reality of it is that this is why baseball players and their union was so strong for all of those years fighting against a cap. And I remember the 1994 strike. I remember losing the World Series. And I remember saying over and over again, well, there's a cap in all these other industries. Why can't there be one in baseball? But the players knew long term that in the end, this is the kind of numbers we would get. This is the kind of money that it would just keep escalating and escalating and escalating to a point where it becomes almost, oh, okay. Alex Bregman of the Astros got 6 years, $100 million. All right. That's a ton of money, but it seems average now that we're seeing these stars in the league getting these kind of numbers. Mike Trout is the right player to get this kind of contract. What does it mean and what does it say about the finances of Major League Baseball? We'll talk about that. And we'll also talk about what it means for the Angels as well to have locked in Trout for as long as they have. Poor old Bryce Harper in Philadelphia ain't going to bring Mike Trout home. It's SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio on a Wednesday.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, or at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's, by the way. I love saying that. I love saying that about your Twitter handle, that it's Ron with two N's. It's kind of become my new catch thing.
Well, that's how I spell my name.
That's right. Well, you could have gone R. Culver. You didn't have to go R-O-N-N. You could have done anything. You could have said the man in the box. So you could have said R. Culver the Great.
I didn't want
you
to be
R.C. the Great.
I didn't want to be corny.
That, well, you could have been.
I could have been, but I, you know,
I'm, like, I'm at Tony D Radio. I could have just been at Tony D blah 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 whatever.
I'm a legit professional, Tony.
Yeah, well, you know. Do you have a problem though when people go, "I sent you a tweet. Why didn't you?" And you go, "You sent it to the wrong guy."
Unfortunately,
you sent it to the guy with
no.
One N.
Unfortunately, no. Many people don't tweet at me.
The reason you listen, I have Italian last name. It's got a lot of vowels in
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you
got
to do it.
My
man.
Problem is that one of the reasons that. Like I went with Tony D is because it was when back in radio when you used to fill out a diary, you know, people didn't want to misspell my last name or misconstrue it. So I just went with that. But also people were misspelling my last name in emails all the time. And so they would be like, it's not going through. And I'm like, it's the I and the E and the I. And they're like, oh, I got it. Okay. And so then I just went, no, just put Tony D at whatever company I was working for and lock it in that way.
So how many times in your life did you have to go, you just think, say to yourself, I before E, except after C?
Yeah, right. All the time, right? That's how I spelled it. All right. So Mike Trout got insane numbers yesterday. 430, 12 years, contract extension. Bryce Harper not going to bring him back to the East Coast. Not going to bring him back to Philly. He's not going to play for the hometown Phillies or / Yankees like people had projected for a long
no
time.
No super team?
No super team at all. He stays with the Angels. Now, listen, I had this interesting Facebook conversation with an older friend of mine who's I've known him for a long time. He was one of the first guys I met when I was in Colorado, and he now does a show out of Florida. And he's, you know, he's old school. I'll be honest with you. He's old school. And to him, this number just doesn't make any sense. Right. And he was decrying that we did this, right. It was one of those, this is our fault. You know, we've done this. We value athletes over regular heroes in our society. And I thought this was way too over the top. And I said, but I thought this sentiment is what a lot of people think when they see a number like this. I feel like I need to remind people about basic economics. Major League Baseball is a business. It's a for-profit business. It's an entertainment industry that generates billions of dollars. Now, the money is going to be there. The Angels, for example, draw 3 million fans a year. They have a local television deal that's worth $150 million. So it's just the local television deal. It's worth $150 million. Now, the money is coming in. Where do you want it to go? Do you want it to go to Artie Moreno? Do you want it just to sit in a big pile like a big vault? Or do you want it to distribute to the players? Because the money's there. The Angels are not going to go bankrupt because they're giving Mike Trout this money. They're not. Neither is the Padres for giving Manny Machado money, or the Phillies for giving Bryce Harper's money, or the Rockies for giving Nolan Arenado his money. They're not going to go bankrupt. So the money's there. All right? This is an entertainment business. All right? Now, in entertainment, you get paid based on how many eyeballs you draw. Right? How many people are willing to pay money to see you do whatever it is you do? If you go on tour and sing, if you're an actor and you get a box office blockbuster, if you're on a television program, if you do a Broadway play, if you make any sort of art at a gallery and you have paintings that people want to buy, the entertainment industry is very lucrative. If you can entertain people, they will pay you money to do it. Lots and lots of money to do it. This isn't about Mike Trout getting more than a police officer or a teacher. Right? That's not the right way to look at this. Or somebody in the armed services. It's not the way to look at this. Mike Trout is getting paid a lot of money because he brings in a lot of money. If he didn't bring in a lot of money, he doesn't get this at all. Right? The Angels make a fortune. They give it to the players so that they continue to make a fortune. Now, whatever industry you're in, and I don't care what it is, you can be a construction worker, you can drive a truck, you can anything that you are in a business that is out of the public sector, meaning you don't work for the government because that's sort of a different thing, but you're in a for-profit company. Okay? Now, take that for-profit company, whatever you do for a living. Now, imagine that company. And is in the industry that makes billions of dollars, right? There's 30 franchises that all make millions and millions and millions of dollars, billions combined. Now imagine you are one of the elite employees of this organization. And I mean elite. I mean Nobody can do what you do. Nobody. You are the best at whatever it is that you do. You are the best in the world. There's nobody on the planet that is as good as you are. Now, there's a pile of cash that's coming into the company. You'd want a piece of that. You'd want a good piece of that. And that's what these baseball players are getting. Yes, it's insane. We're talking about $500 million over 12 years. And that number is going to go up and up and up over the next few years. I mean, maybe Mookie Betts gets 470 when he signs with the Red Sox again or whoever picks him up. Maybe by my time my kid is in his 30s, we're talking about $600 million. Maybe that's the case. But it goes back to what I was saying before. The Major League Baseball Players Union always saw this coming. Always saw this coming. Now, you talk to any NFL player, they're always jealous of what baseball players get, and they also are very jealous of what NBA players get, not only because it's lucrative, but it's also because it's guaranteed. And these numbers are insane. But Mike Trout, outside of taxes, is going to get over $200 million out of this deal. He's going to take home over $200 million over the next 12 years. Now, I don't know how the taxes work in California versus in federal. I don't know what in the end, what his take home will be. But that's about where it's going to be. If you figure Uncle Sam is going to take half of that, and California is going to take another chunk of that, probably about $200 million he's going to take home. Ask any NFL player. If in any 12-year period, they're going to make $200 million take-home. They're not. But because the players were willing to sacrifice the game, whether we agree with that or not, right? Whether we hate the fact that they cost us a World Series in 94. The reality of it is they saw this day coming all the time. And the players had always said, look, we want to be on top of the mountain, and we want to build a fence around the top of the mountain that you guys can't climb over. And the players said, no, we want to be on the mountain with you. So when the money is coming in, we want to be able to have our right to share in that pie however we'd like by using our services and using the ability of free agency to get you guys to fight amongst each other. And because you fight amongst each other, then we get a few of our guys to sit on top of the mountain. Alex Bregman is a fantastic ball player at 24 years old. He's a fantastic ball player. But 10 years ago, he doesn't approach $100 million over a six-year extension. He gets that because there are guys who have moved that bar up and up and up and up and up. So it seems reasonable to give Alex Bregman a six-year, $100 million deal, even though he deserves it. I mean, he's not a second-rate player. He's an all-star player. But those are the kind of numbers we're talking about that now become casual parts of conversation. When 10 years ago, $100 million? We'd lose our minds, like we're losing our minds over a 300 and 400, but in a couple of years, that'll be the norm too. I give the players' union a ton of credit on this because they got barbecued for this back in 94. They got killed for this. You killed the World Series. And nobody has sympathy for millionaire athletes and their economic plight. Nor do we have sympathy for billionaire owners. We kept telling them over and over again, every time they get in these little squabbles, fix it, fix it, fix it. You know who's really has gripes when it comes to how they get paid and what their situation is? NFL guys, right? We talk about it all the time with contracts, right? They're expendable. They don't get all the money that could be coming their way. The only thing that they ever get is the guarantee. You can be cut at any time, looking for work at any time, have to take pay cuts all the time. You sign a four-year deal with a team, right, that's an escalating salary to a point where you can make $18 million a year, let's say, at your position. Well, then they find out you're too expensive, you take a pay cut, and then you got to settle for nine. And I know we're talking millions of dollars, but that's what an NFL player has to go through, whereas a Major League Baseball player, lock it in, baby. That's mine, and you can't take it away no matter what I do, even if I'm done and you don't want me around anymore and I'm sitting on a porch. That's what we're talking about now with Major League Baseball. And not only that, but here's the funny part of it all. So if you're sitting there trying to wrap your brains on how Mike Trout, 12 years, 430, oh God, that's amazing. Think about the guys who sat down and did the analytics on the win above replacement statistics to find out that if a win is worth about $5 to $6 million and that he is getting about 10 on the war statistic, and so he's 10 wins above replacement, that he's actually worth $50 million a year, and the Angels got a bargain. The Angels are getting a bargain on a 12-year commitment for a player worth nearly $500 million. Don't cry for the Angels, and don't cry for baseball. This isn't the Angels going, "Oh God, I hope it works out." That's not what's going on here. This sport is not bankrupt. And oh, by the way, when you think like, well, all the ticket prices are going to go through the roof. Well, 3 million people keep turning the turnstiles. They even still have those. Keep bringing themselves to Anaheim to see the Angels play. It's a supply and demand world. I mean, I was amazed yesterday with the numbers as anybody. But I'm not going to begrudge anybody in this deal. The Angels knew what they were doing. Mike Trout's team knew what they were doing. If anything, Trout gets credit for not going to see greener pastures somewhere else. He was loyal. He was loyal to the team that drafted him. He's an outstanding baseball player, going to go down in history as one of the best of all time, if not the best of all time. People who do the numbers better than I do are calling it a bargain. Crazy. I know, $430 million. But you go back, they sacrificed a lot to get there. We lost a World Series so they could get there. And now they're swimming in money. I mean, it's insane. I don't know when these bubbles burst. It's crazy. I don't know when it happens. I don't know what we're talking about here. At what point do people go, I can't afford to go to a baseball game. Tickets are $120 because now contracts are through the roof. I don't know when that happens. 100 years from now, 50 years from now, I don't know. I don't know when it happens. 430, 12 years. Insane. And the idea that it's a bargain is nuts. All right, 800-777-2907. Your thoughts on this contract, your thoughts on baseball's finances. What does it mean? What were your initial thoughts? You can hit us up on Twitter, again, at Tony D Radio, or at Ron Culver, and that is Ron with two N's. I want to get to the NFL because it was a signing yesterday. Not a big deal, but it did make me think about which division in the AFC is the best. And I'll tell you which one next on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM. Don't take a chance on being stranded. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and get your battery tested. It's free of charge and one of the many services available. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people will help you find the exact battery for your car or truck. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, so which division in the AFC is now looking sharp, right? Is it the AFC East? No, because the Dolphins are going to tank and the Jets are figuring it out.
Dolphins just signed Magic.
No. I'm done with that. I bought into that, and I'm disappointed, and I'm done, and he's never getting my support again. He failed me. I was all in on Ryan Fitzpatrick. I was all in on Fitzmagic. I'm not giving him a third chance. Because if you don't really remember the season, do you? It wasn't just one time.
No, I remember
the
season.
Us. No. He started off great. Then he lost his job. Then he came back and he then played great again. And then he lost his job again. No. I'm not giving him a third chance. He's done.
Third time's the charm, Tony.
Nope, not third time's the charm.
All right.
I think the best team in the best division in the AFC now, with Antonio Brown with the Raiders, is it the AFC West?
I don't want to say that. I mean, I want to say that. No, I want to say that because, you know, the Chargers and the Chiefs are still top tier.
There is no reason to believe that either one is going to take a dive, except the Chiefs are rehauling their entire defense.
Yes.
And I don't know how that's going to work.
And we don't know what's going to happen with Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill could be suspended. The Chiefs' defense is getting revamped, although Steve Spagnuolo is a fantastic defensive coordinator, and I think he'll do good things, even though Justin Houston isn't there, Dee Ford is not there. And, Tyrann Mathieu arriving, but we'll see what that Chiefs defense is going to do. But if Patrick Mahomes doesn't have Tyreek Hill, that changes things dramatically. The Broncos with Joe Flacco, it's not the greatest situation offensively, but man, they got a lot of, they have got a lot of new things that are at least decent. I mean, they're fixing their secondary. They still have Von Miller and Bradley Chubb on the defensive side. Vic Fangio is the defensive coach. Juwan James on the offensive line, giving him $13 million a year to help shore that. They got Mike Munchak coaching the O-line. Still got two good running backs. But Antonio Brown going to the Raiders is, you know, I don't know if that kicks up a couple of wins, but I think this division, the AFC West, I mean, I think it's the best in the AFC. I mean, that includes an AFC South in which Nick Foles is now the quarterback of Jacksonville.
Yeah, I mean, and do we also include with the Raiders signing Vontaze Burfict?
Well, that's a weird signing, don't you think?
Well, it's perfect for Burfict.
Right, perfect for Burfict. But that's a weird signing. This is the thing that bothers me. If you hate a guy, then you don't get to love him just because you're teammates.
Right.
Antonio Brown and Vontaze Burfict couldn't stand each other when they were division rivals. He injured Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't he knock him out cold?
Yeah, knocked him out cold.
I kind of remember. Dirty
hit, and then Juju Smith-Schuster knocked him out, and Antonio Brown was screaming karma when Juju was talking about it in an interview. I mean, they couldn't, and then he joins the Raiders, and it's like, it's all good. I mean, if I'm supposed to be involved in these feuds, you're supposed to be involved in these feuds.
Is there any doubt now that the Raiders need to be the Hard Knocks
story
of the summer?
Please give us Hard Knocks with the Raiders.
Because, I mean, there's just so much drama with that team. I can't wait. I want to see the first meeting. Like, Hard Knocks, just start filming now.
It's amazing to me these guys do that. I would love an athlete. I'd love an athlete to, when a guy signs with the team and you become teams with them, to go, no, all's not forgiven. I can't stand this move. I told the bosses, no, don't to bring him aboard, but they brought him aboard anyway. I can't stand the guy. No, they all go, nah, it's all good, brother. It's all good. We're teammates now. Black and gold forever. Black and silver forever. Whatever the colors are. Oh, we're good now. We're good now. No, you're not. He knocked you out cold in a game. Knocked you with a dirty hit. What do you think? It's all good. I mean, I know people will be like, well, it's good for the team. It's good for... Stop this. Like, they want it. You go out and you make these comments. I'm like, as a Steeler fan, I'm all in. I mean, I can't stand him. He's a dirty player. Nah. Now you're like, yeah, it's all good. Okay, well, I guess it's all good. I mean, my God. Love for some people to be honest. But look, I think this division... Going back to the West, look at the South, for example. Houston, good team, 11-win team last year. Indianapolis, if they didn't get off to a slow start, they could have won 13 games last season. Jacksonville's got Nick Foles at quarterback. Tennessee is still an it factor, but I think they're on an upward tick, even if it's a small upward tick. That's a very good division. The AFC North is wild because Cleveland is going to be good. Steelers should be okay still. Baltimore still should be okay, even though they lost some pieces, added some pieces. Cincinnati hasn't really done much. They're, you know,
they haven't done anything.
They really haven't done anything.
They offloaded.
Done anything. They've dumped, which is, you know, now they've become the Browns of the division. But the AFC West, I think, is really interesting for me because it's not up for grabs for anybody. It's still a Chiefs Charger division. I mean, look, I know we've said it a lot because you're a Charger fan and we've kind of made this point.
Of course.
But isn't it amazing? It's amazing that the AFC pretty much all season, the AFC, all of these non-division contending teams were vying for one wild card spot. That was it. Because the Chiefs and the Chargers were taking the other one. Whoever was going to win that division, the other one was going to get the other one wild card.
Yep.
So the Colts, the Steelers, the Dolphins for a little bit until they faded.
Browns.
All the teams that were the Browns, all these teams that were vying for playoff consideration were vying for one spot, and that was it, because the Chiefs and the Chargers were having such a good year. And so if Denver gets a couple of more wins, and they were in some close losses last year that you kind of think Joe Flacco might kick in and. And if the Raiders are a little better.
I still don't have a whole lot of faith in Flacco.
I don't either. Like, that's my thing. I don't either. I don't think this is.
I mean, I think for the Broncos, I think they're going to be sub 500, but just barely sub 500, like a 7-9.
But see, I'm with you on that. I don't think that Flacco's addition kicks in an extra three or four wins. That's
right.
A big, you know, movement. But what they're hoping for is, look, Case Keenum threw 18 touchdowns last year. You're hoping Flacco throws more than that. right? I mean, if he throws 17, my God, you're hoping he throws more than that. And they use if they don't, then boy, what a dumb idea this was. And that the defense is going to be better. The defense was picked apart last year through the air. They're hoping that Bryce Callahan and Kareem Jackson change that. Rick Donatell and now Vic Fangio, the defensive minds, Fangio at the head coaching position. The big problem for me with Denver is their offensive coordinator, Rick Scangarello. He's a rookie, basically, at that position. 40 years old, bounced around college and in the NFL, but he's getting his first OC job. So if that falls apart, they're going to stink. But the Raiders, with Antonio Brown, become a little bit more interesting to me. I mean, we kind of make fun of John Gruden, but when he's got players, he can coach.
It's such a weird thing. Like, you want to sit there, it's like, okay, the Raiders, are you tanking? Are you not tanking? You know, like, you sign Antonio Brown. It's like, all right, well, that's a move in the right direction. And then you pick up Perfect, and you're like, okay, well, you're back to what are you doing?
Right.
I mean, they're so confusing to me. I don't know which way they're trying to. Way they're trying to go.
I don't either. But very, very interesting. We'll get to the NFC later on in the show. As we continue along, coming up next, I want to get to the NCAA tournament, because now as we kick into the NCAA tournament, it may not be the best way to crown a champion, but is it the most fun? We'll talk about that next. SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, have you written a book? Learn how to get it published and potentially sold online and at a bookstore. Call Page Publishing now for your free book publishing kit, 800-215-6815, 800-215-6815. I always wanted to write a book, but I don't know what to write about. I get like these ideas, but I don't know where to go with them.
I remember once that was like the number one thing people always wanted to do, but never got around to doing.
Yep, I know.
Like, everyone always wants to write a book, but no one ever gets around to actually putting words to paper.
Yeah, I mean, Fred Fowler wrote a book, and I give him a ton of credit for that. That's incredible. But the Harry Potter series, I remember when my kids were young and they would read the books and I read them with them, whatnot. I heard she wrote these. She was unemployed, and she finally just said, I'm going to write these books.
Yep.
And
in a laundromat.
The way she's connected everything, like, it's mind-boggling that she had thought, like, she was like five steps ahead. Like, yeah, she had the whole idea.
And I think that's part of the problem, because I don't know if my thinking when writing a book would be too linear.
Me too. Like, she thought of the world and the big story first, and then broke it up, rather than where do I go with this now to try to create some more works.
That was the whole thing. And, you know, spoiler alert, if you have never watched Harry Potter, you know, earmuffs time. But that's what, you remember when she told Alan Rickman from day one, when they first started filming, she hadn't even finished all the book writing the books. But from the moment they started filming the movie and doing the first one, she told him the meaning of always and told him what would transpire throughout it.
That's pretty incredible to me. So if you're an author, it's amazing that you can think like I had this idea for a book years ago, and I thought of this cool idea that the book would open up with some archaeologists. And they're working on, like, uncovering this ancient civilization and whatnot. And they find a box. And they dig out this box. And they go, oh, look, what is in this box? What do these ancient people have? And in the box, in a plastic bag, is an iPhone. And they freak out. But then I don't know what to do with it after that. Like, what does that mean? I think that would be cool. Like, if you're an archaeologist and you dig up something and you'd find an ancient box and you open up and you crack open this ancient box and there's a piece of modern technology in it, and you're thinking, your mind would warp. What is this? A time traveler? Where am I? Was I in another dimension? What is this? What is this culture? Is this a hoax? Is somebody playing a trick? It's kind of like Contact, that movie with Jodie Foster,
where in the end
they thought this was a billionaire's hoax, the whole thing, but, you know, she thought it was real.
Well, one of my issues with Back to the Future 3 Doc buries a car in a cave, and for, what, 50 years, no one ever...
No one finds it.
No one finds the cave, and they didn't go that right. deep into the cave.
That's right. That's a great point. Nobody ever thought...
I mean, if you were like a young kid, you know, just exploring caves, because I imagine that's what young kids did back in the day, and you stumbled upon this futuristic-looking machine that's just sitting in a cave somewhere.
Some 1920s kid is like, what is this?
What kind of...
Go get my dad.
This is a weird looking contraption.
Right, exactly. The Major League Baseball season is underway in Tokyo.
It is.
The Seattle Mariners and the Oakland A's are underway in Tokyo. It is 5-4. Somebody hit a grand slam. I just saw it on Twitter. So.
Well, you know what the problem is, Tony, is that we're dealing with two teams that we really don't know anybody on.
No, I don't. I'm not going to. It's Domingo Santana who hit the first grand slam.
Of course he did. Of course he did.
Gosh.
The great Domingo Santana.
By the way, I'm not going to do the impression, but if you want to hear a funny story, John Miller, broadcaster for the Giants, I think he was with the Orioles, tells a very funny story about going to Japan on vacation. And he wanted to hear baseball on the radio because he's obviously a baseball announcer. He knows how passionate people in Japan are about baseball. So he wanted to hear announcers in Japan. And he said, they're all doing Vin Scully.
Okay.
And John Miller does this great bit where he speaks Japanese, calling a baseball game in his Vin Scully impression. And it's really funny if you like that kind of humor, and I do. So it's really funny. So he goes, I thought I would listen into these great Japanese broadcasters, and I realized they're all imitating Vin Scully. And he goes, they're all sounding like Scully. And I think that's awesome. What a great, but this is pretty neat. But this goes back to a problem that I was saying earlier, that if the NBA had opened up their season in China, right? They brought the Lakers and the Warriors, and they were like, it's going to be, maybe they bring Houston. They bring four teams to China, right? They're going to open up the regular season in Shanghai. It's going to be Warriors and Rockets, and then Lakers and Boston. And they're going to play two games, alternating opponents. And that's how they're going to kick off the NBA season. It would be the biggest deal beyond words how they would promote that and remind you that they're starting their season in China. I had no idea Major League Baseball was opening their season in Japan on March 20th. I had no idea that they were doing this. The same thing with the NFL. Imagine if kickoff Thursday was in London or anywhere. I don't care. Mexico City, London, Shanghai, anywhere, Tokyo. You would know that.
Oh, without a doubt.
They would promote that, and they would tell you that, and they would broadcast that, and they would let you know that.
It's opening day. I mean, there's a two-game series going on in Japan that actually count towards the standings.
Yep.
But once these two games are done, both these teams, I assume, are going back to spring training.
I think they are, right? I think they've got – they wrap it up a little bit and then finalize some stuff. And don't they do that one little – they'll go back to their stadium and do like an exhibition game?
Oh, of course,
some teams always do that. You know, they always bring – like the Astros will go to Minute Maid Park and play like the Rice Owls, right,
for a game or they'll do like – you know, they'll do a Subway Series or, you know, in Southern California it's the Freeway Series where they have the Dodgers and Angels play against each other 2 days before – real opening day is.
Yeah, and then these two teams might actually do that, but right now they're kicking off the season.
Now I do have to say this
Japan,
real quick.
So, yes.
Right now up to bat for the Mariners is Ichiro.
Oh, God.
Who,
how great is that?
Who retired last year, but is with the team, I think, on a two-day contract.
Why not?
There are a ton of cell phones.
See, he is like a god there.
Yeah.
He is like a, I mean, seriously.
And he's battling right now, so it's a full count.
Ichiro is one of the greatest hitters in baseball history.
I think he would have he would have eclipsed Pete Rose's record had he started in the majors.
Absolutely,
because people forget he didn't come to the major leagues until he was about 30.
That's right. That's right. Never strikes out. Always makes contact on the ball. I mean, he's just a fantastic career.
Yep.
Fantastic career in Japan. Fantastic career here.
I mean, it's kind of as I'd say. I mean, everyone is on their feet. Everyone's got their cell phone camera out. I mean, they actually panned over the crowd just from behind, looking at the fans. Every single person has a phone out.
That's great.
Even if, you know, like, it was like an entire family, each one is grabbing the video themselves.
That's amazing. That's awesome. That is really awesome. Good for him and good for Tokyo. Good for the Mariners and baseball. I just wish they promoted him more.
I had no clue.
And again, I had no clue. I thought it was weird. I didn't understand it. And I initially thought it was an exhibition game in Tokyo. So they were going to take a break from Arizona, boogie over to Tokyo, play a couple of exhibition games, come back.
They'll do that in Puerto Rico. They'll do that, you know, through the Caribbean or down in Mexico. They'll have all these exhibition games. And these games count.
Top of the fourth inning. It's Seattle 5, Oakland 4 as we take a break here in Tokyo. I saw a picture on Twitter that made me kind of want to try this. I think Darren Rovell tweeted this out, that they sell green tea ice cream in Tokyo. And I like green tea. I will drink green tea. I don't know if I like it in an ice cream, but I'm willing to try it. I'm not disgusted by that. I was disgusted by fried grasshoppers.
That doesn't Seattle sound appetizing selling. At all.
That doesn't sound
Unless
appetizing.
You have a good chili sauce to dip them in, Tony.
But I remember doing this story one time, and I had a number of people on Twitter say, no, really, seriously, don't knock this until you try this. That's really good.
No, I think that's one thing you can knock until you try it.
I agree, right?
One, I mean, I've heard of chocolate-covered grasshoppers. No.
I'm not eating that. I'm not eating grasshoppers. Don't tell me they've got great protein. I don't care. It's a bug. I ain't eating it. And I know that's what people have eaten for thousands and thousands of years, but not me, okay? And if I live 2 years less than my normal time span, whatever that may be, because I don't eat bugs, I'm willing to sacrifice that. I'm not eating bugs. That's easy.
And you shouldn't have to.
But everybody told me, no, this is not part of how
we became top of the food chain, was that we decided not to just eat grubs and worms and the like.
That's the whole thing. Remember Anthony Bourdain, the late Anthony Bourdain, how he had all those good shows where he would travel and he'd be in these other cultures and he'd eat like a cobra egg or something, you know what I mean? And he would always be like, oh, we Westerners don't understand the delicacies. And I'm like, Anthony, I don't, that's not my thing. I'm sorry. Don't put me down because I don't want cobra venom in my burger. Like, I'm not interested in, you know, slicing open a boa constrictor and eating its internal organs in a soup. I have no interest in that. I'm sorry. Like, you can pick on me and you can pick on my Western values and all that, but I'm not doing that. I'm not eating grasshoppers. I'm not cutting open a snake. I'm not eating some bird that's in the middle of the forest that looks weird. That's not what I do. Now, people might think it's weird that we eat chickens. Okay, that's fine. But I'm not eating fried grasshoppers at baseball games. But I will have green tea ice cream. I think it was my overall point. Green tea ice cream I'll have. I'd try that. It looked good. It's all like St. Patrick Day-like. Like, imagine vanilla ice cream, but just green.
But would you be disappointed when it didn't taste like mint?
That'd
probably throw you off a little bit, right?
Yeah, that'd probably be it. I'd probably be expecting the minty goodness of the green tea and not getting that, but just getting the green tea and being like, this is disappointing. Yeah, it's like Shamrock Shakes. I like it. Like, if you give me a Shamrock Shake, here's the deal with me with this, because they're a big deal. If you give me a Shamrock Shake, I'll drink it, and then I'll put it down, and I won't drink it again. Like, I only need a little bit of it, but I won't drink the whole thing. A chocolate shake, I'll wolf down. But a Shamrock Shake, I'm like, okay, it's good, but I don't need this anymore. Same with, like, mint ice cream. I'll eat a little bit of it, and I'll be like, it's not my thing. So, but green tea ice cream I would try if I was in Tokyo. So the Mariners, again, and the A's going on top of the fourth inning, Seattle 5-4. But they have runners on second and third. I wonder how that's playing out. Did Ichiro strike out?
No, he had a 13-pitch walk.
That is so Ichiro.
You can't strike him out. He fouled off. I mean, he was fouling off garbage.
Oh, good for him. I bet when he walked, that the place went bananas.
Oh, he gave a little salute to the crowd.
Yeah, I bet they were like that. Because that is, you want to talk about a 13 pitch walk. That is a hitter right there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that means he's not getting the pitches he wants, but he is going to make you work.
And he's slapping at anything close just to keep himself alive.
Just to keep it alive. Good job, Ichiro. How old is Ichiro, by the way? 43?
80.
Yeah, right. He's probably 80. 800-777-2907. It's SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I have not filled out my bracket yet. I better do so quickly. It's Wednesday.
You don't need to fill it. You don't even know who two of the teams are yet.
I don't know Arizona State and St. John's, and that actually could affect my decision.
That could.
I live in Nashville, and Belmont winning yesterday is now a really, really big deal because it's their first ever NCAA tournament victory. But I don't want to rain on Belmont's parade, but is it really winning a first four game? A NCAA tournament victory. I mean, again, I'm not trying to poo-poo the first four in Dayton, Ohio. I'm sure they run a great show, but
yeah, I'm with you on that one.
You're playing into the tournament. Again, words matter, people. You're playing into the tournament, so you're not in the tournament until you play into it.
Yeah, I am 100% with you. Like when they were, and also Fairleigh Dickinson.
Same thing.
They got
right?
their first tournament victory ever.
Oh, yeah. It's not quite the same. It's not quite the same. I mean,
I guess just because the NCAA tournament logo is on the court does not mean you're actually in the tournament.
And the cups, right? All say NCAA on them, right?
Not yet.
Not yet. It doesn't feel that way. And again, listen, I'm not trying to be get off my lawn guy. I always have to say that when I'm doing,
this isn't even get off my lawn guy. This is just not reality.
I know people will be like, well, they earned the right. Correct me if I'm wrong. Again, hit me up on Twitter if you find this outrageous at Tony D Radio.
Especially if you're in the Belmont area.
Yeah, especially I don't want to. And listen, I have friends who love Belmont, and I'm like, all right, good for you, right? It's yay, go Bruins, whatever. But it's not the same. The reason it's not the same to me is this. Belmont is an 11 seed. They won a game against another 11 seed. For you to be in the NCAA tournament when you're an 11 seed, beat a 6, and then you've won a tournament game. Not beating a team of your equal status, according to the committee. It doesn't seem to count. All right, so, I don't know. I'm not as progressive as other people, I guess, when it comes to this tournament. But the first four is the first four. Playing in, it matters. It really does.